to despair. For you and me, send out a prayer for you.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. All of Psalm 1. Then looking in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. All of Romans chapter 12. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the many ways that your word equips us, guides us, empowers us, strengthens us, nourishes us, and prepares us for the battlefields of life. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be committed students of your word, who read and study your word daily, who live a life of prayer, who live a life of living your word as we learn it. Empower us to be the faithful hearers and doers you've called us all to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that you are our provider. Father, thank you that whenever you sent Adam out of the garden, that you told him that by the sweat of his brow, he would eat the fruit of the land. But Father, as much as he tilled, it was you that brought the growth. And so Father, we come today to till spiritually, to come looking for spiritual food. And Father, we look for your provision. We look for you to bring the growth. We look for you to bring the Holy Spirit's fruit. Thank you so much, Father, for hearing us and for responding to us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're wanting to remind all of our listeners about our upcoming Activate Summit conference that will be coming up in just a few weeks from now. To get more information, go to our website at activate.afa.net. Again, the summit's overall theme is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And we invite you to be mindful that as Christians, we're called to be salt and light in a dark and a hurting world. But how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. In fact, it starts and ends with God's Word as well. If you're a follower of Christ, the Bible should be the foundation on which your entire life is built. It should impact your decisions, your relationships, and even the way you think. We're encouraging you to consider coming to the Activate Summit this summer. Again, those dates are Thursday, June the 12th through Saturday, June the 14th, just a few weeks away this year, 2025. And so if you are able to come, we invite you to come and be a part. Bring your family as well. We do have sessions specifically for children as well. The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 to 12. And just like the adults, the children will learn about the authority and sufficiency of Scripture, but in an engaging and age-appropriate way. So again, for more information about our Activate Summit this summer, again, go to the website activate.afa.net. Once again, those dates are Thursday, June 12th through Saturday, June the 14th, 2025. Hope to see you there. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Dr. Chris Lorstifer. He's a professor at Wesley Biblical Seminary. He is the pastor of Hines Independent Methodist Church and the author of a book that we'll be discussing today. The book is entitled Learning to Breathe. Dr. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir, for having me on.
An honor to have you on, and I had the privilege of meeting you at an event, a conference that happened a few months ago, and you were doing an outstanding workshop at that event as well. So would you take time now to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about Wesley Biblical Seminary as well, and then we want to dive into talking about the message and mission behind your book, Learning to Breathe.
Absolutely. I am the Associate Professor of Wesleyan Theology at WBS, and also I'm the VP for Academic Affairs at this time. And we're a seminary in Mississippi serving students all around the world. It's a pretty exciting place to be working at the moment. It's just exploding and expanding. And we do undergrad. We have a degree in undergrad ministry, and then we have multiple degrees in the graduate level and even a doctorate of ministry degree. And we even do some lay teaching classes as well, called the Wesley Institute, which I would suggest to your listeners to go look up online. We've got some really exciting both 9-month Wesley Institute as well as some 6-week really interesting lay level, not for credit, so there's not any homework or anything, kind of classes. They should look us up. WBS.edu is the website, and they can look up more information there. But yeah, I'm also a pastor. I not only teach here and am an administrator, but I also pastor. I've been at my church for 28 years now, so just getting started. But yeah, so that's who I am.
Mm. Well, we again appreciate you taking the time. Sounds like you're a busy person who's mastered the art of not sleeping, but we're grateful to have you on to do the broadcast today. Would you take time now to pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for each listener, from wherever they are, wherever they're listening from, and whatever their situation is. You're already there. You are, as someone said, God is previous. You're always where we are in our life. Thank you for that. We just pray for your grace and the power that comes through your Holy Spirit in the lives of each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Chris, the title of your book is Learning to Breathe. And I'm going to ask, just right off the bat, explain the title. Help us understand why you chose to give it that title.
Yeah, so there's a secondary title. It's Learning to Breathe, Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration. So I do Wesley studies. That's my area of expertise. And so I was reading in John Wesley. He wrote a sermon in 1748 called The Great Privilege of Those Who Are Born of God. And it's a great sermon. It's about 1 John 3:9, where 1 John 3:9 says, those who are born again do not sin or cannot sin. And Wesley says, you know, that's interesting that it says that, because we know that Christians have this ability. And, you know, there's all kinds of temptations. People fall to it. Christians do sin. So why does the Bible say you don't sin or can't sin, and yet we do? So he goes into the process of what happens in a Christian's life that brings them to the place where they sin. Well, in the process of talking about that, he brings up this thing he calls spiritual respiration. Mm-hmm. And so when I read his explanation of spiritual respiration, it occurred to me, this is what it is to interact with God. This really is just spiritual life. And so the book kind of has a double side to it. On the one hand, it teaches you how to interact with God's grace, but also it shows you the process of teaching someone else how to interact with the grace of God. So it's both personal and a text for discipleship, really. So spiritual respiration is about breathing in God's grace and breathing out God's grace. That is the Christian life. Mm. That's the meaning of the title, yeah.
Okay. Learning to breathe, again, mastering the art of spiritual respiration. Well, you know, a term that actually, I guess, I don't think people will hear very often, but it's a great term, I think, that comes from John Wesley, is means of grace. Would you take time to explain to our listeners what means of grace, what that term meant to John Wesley, what he was communicating?
Well, you know, John Wesley was an Anglican priest and his entire life. And mm-hmm. this term, means of grace, is a pretty old one. It goes pretty far back. But and he has a sermon called The Means of Grace where he explains it. But here's what he means. How is it that the grace of God, how do we interact with the grace of God? So, and maybe there's, let me dive in historically here for a second, or theologically maybe. There's really three kind of opinions from people. Maybe grace is just like doled out from the church and from a priest or something. Maybe grace is simply God's attitude toward us. But for Wesley, grace was more than that. Grace is about interacting with the very powerful presence of God. So how do you do that? Well, the means of grace are ways in which God has invited us to interact with his grace. So for instance, for Wesley, there are five ordinary...
Dr. Chris, I'm going to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Chris Lorster, for he's pastor of Hines Independent Methodist Church, and he's the author of the book, Learning to Breathe, Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration. We'll be right back.
You came from heaven's throne, acquainted with our sorrow,
Music of Vertical Worship with Lamb of God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Chris Lorstafer. He's a professor at Wesley Biblical Seminary, as well as the author of the book, Learning to Breathe. Dr. Chris, if you'll pick up right there where you left off before the break there.
Yes, sir. We were talking about the means of grace, and so yeah, so God's inviting us to interact with His grace. It's very interactive. This is about the personal presence of God. And so how do you do that? Well, on the one hand, the ordinary means of grace for John Wesley were basically these. And it's real simple, and this is so practical. First of all, prayer. When you pray, you're interacting with the living God. That's what you're doing. You're not just giving God like a grocery list. God, do this, do this, do this. But you're bringing to God your heart. You're surrendering to His will. You're interacting with Him. You're talking and listening to Him. Prayer is an absolute invitation from God to interact with His presence. Secondly, would be Bible, the Bible. So not just reading it, but studying it, listening to it being preached and taught, interacting with it. Wesley said, you know, when you interact with the Scripture, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Scripture will speak to you. And so reading the Scripture is something we should be doing on a regular basis, because that's interacting with God's grace. Number three would be, I put it in three. The third one I call worship, but, you know, the Lord's Supper, fasting, meeting with other Christians. There's all sorts of things you could say about worship and liturgy that could connect us. But basically, it's a way to interact with God's grace. And so those are like ordinary means of grace in a Christian's life. And that is in the book. It's what I call breathing in. That's how you breathe in God's grace. Every day, you should be in prayer, in Bible study, and in worship. And if you do that, it's breathing in, which is like, when you breathe in physically, the oxygen goes into your lungs, which goes into the capillaries and then into your cells. It feeds your cells. So breathing in these three things, prayer, Bible, and worship, that feeds the spiritual cells of your soul. That's what Wesley is saying. And so the Christian life is not just about sitting back and believing something. It's about interacting with God through these things which He's given us, invitations from God. You know, oftentimes we tell Christians they should be reading their Bible, and they don't know why they should be. You know, you're supposed to be doing this. Mm-hmm. Okay, why? Well, that's how you interact with God. That's where the life is. Mm-hmm. Just like when that oxygen goes to the cells, that's where the life is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just want to mention this point. I've heard it said that another word for John Wesley's term that he used, means of grace, another term would simply be spiritual habits. Would you agree with that?
Sort of. Now, you know, when you say habits, mm-hmm. that brings to mind the modern spiritual formation movement, which is slightly different. It's not just about forming habits, because sometimes in the spiritual spiritual formation movement, you get kind of this idea that as long as you form these habits, the habits kind of shape who you are. Mm-hmm. Actually, Wesley's going a little deeper than that. Mm-hmm. These things like reading the scripture and prayer and worship, they're not just habits that shape who we are. They're ways to interact with God's presence. Mm-hmm. And that shapes who you are. So I think it's slightly deeper than habits, mm-hmm. Because sometimes, I've taught spiritual formation classes before, where, you know, you look at some of this stuff, you know, and that's the basic thought is you form habits, and those habits kind of shape you. But this is actually looking at the spiritual side of it. Mm-hmm. This is about meeting with God and the Holy Spirit of God transforming who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I want to mention another. I recall hearing being in a setting where a person asked the question, which is more important, prayer or the reading of Scripture? And the response I thought was a wise response, but also I'd like for you to respond to it just from your thinking in hearing it. But the question again was, what's more important, Bible reading or prayer? And the person responded, well, when you're breathing, what's more important, inhaling or exhaling? Both are critical, was what he was saying. But would you share your thoughts about that response, that question and the response as well?
I mean, I could see the answer either way. Some people might say, well, if you're reading the Bible but you're not praying, then are you really open to hearing what God's going to say? On the other hand, if you're praying but you're not reading the Scripture, are you going to be able to understand what God's saying? Because most of what God will ever say to you, 90% of what God's ever going to say to you, He said in the Scripture. Hmm. And so if you're not reading the Scripture, you're missing out on hearing from Him. However, if you're not praying, are you really open to hearing from Him? So, they go kind of hand in hand, I suppose.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, and I think it's very helpful to think of our walk with God as being like breathing in it, because, of course, if we stop breathing, we stop living. The fact right. is we need to live a lifestyle of breathing in our walk with God. And I think of this like, and of course, this is just a one perspective to look at it. When Jesus was on earth, he had his 12 disciples, and he had additional followers who weren't a part of the 12. And then there were some persons who came to hear him speak maybe one or maybe several times when he spoke. But then there are some people who lived and died and never bothered coming to find Jesus, to listen to him, and to bother him. Well, I think of this as it relates to the Word of God. You have some believers that are saved. They love Jesus. They read their Bibles every day. Some believers read it from time to time, maybe once or twice a week. Some read it every once in a while. And some people have never in their life cracked a Bible. And the reality is it's their loss. But your thoughts on that perspective?
Oh, it's absolutely a necessity. In fact, Wesley said this, if you're not practicing those means of grace, mm-hmm. and the other side of the means of grace would be what's called works of mercy, ministry to other people. He said, if you're not doing those two things, it's not reasonable to think that you would ever move forward spiritually. And he said, it's not reasonable to think you'd ever be sanctified, that you'd ever grow in grace, that you would even stay where you are spiritually. You cannot stay where you are without being involved in these things. And so if you're ever going to grow, it's going to happen through those means of grace. The Bible reading is absolutely imperative for a Christian's life. It's kind of like telling somebody to live their life and never eat anything. You have to be taking in food for nourishment. Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture is. But see, I don't think we present it that way very often. I think we just tell them they're supposed to, and so they pick it up at night, maybe open it up or read a couple of verses and go to sleep thinking they've done their due diligence, when in fact they're not going through the scripture much and the scripture's not going through them very much. Mm. You really have to dig in and let the scripture flow through who you are and transform you by his word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, would you say, too, that, like, for example, in looking at the whole topic of the means of grace, specifically, too, it it seems to allude to what James is saying in the book of James. It says, faith without works is dead. In other words, we're to know the Lord, walk in intimate relationship with him, but also we're called to live a lifestyle of ministry, reaching out, or I guess in relation to, I think, what your book is saying, exhaling. So would you share, would you expound on that?
Absolutely. If you breathe in but you don't breathe out, you will die. And, you know, Paul said we should be zealous of good works. And Wesley takes that and says, these are those good works, both the works of piety, the breathing in through the Bible and prayer and worship, and the works of mercy. That's how you love God. Loving God comes through loving others. That this is how you express your love to God. And so you love God, love others through works of mercy, which could be to the body or souls of men. And so when you do that, you think about some people. I've met people in my life that, and you guys have too, where they have this habit of reading the Bible every day and praying, and they're in church, but they're some of the meanest people you've ever met. They're very cranky, and I think they're breathing in, but they're not breathing out. They're not loving outwardly, and so they have a standard. You know, I'm going to read my Bible every day. That's a standard. I'm always going to go to church and give my 10%. That's a standard, but it's not the same thing as spiritual life. If you're not loving God and loving others outwardly, then it's just like this. When you breathe in, the oxygen that you breathe in has a byproduct, a carbon dioxide, and you have to exhale that.
Right.
That's the waste product of the feeding the cells. Well, if you take in the Bible and you take in prayer and you go to church and you do your tithing, you got a good standard. But you don't love others, it's like you're not excelling the waste product. And I think it makes people cranky. It makes them mean. And it's a different kind of Christian outlook when you have a person who's not loving God and loving others as an excelling process.
Well,
it's absolutely necessary.
Dr. Chris, I want to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray about that point within the body of Christ, in them, because I think you're touching on something that's very practical, but a tremendous area and of need, a need for growth in it, because it's sad that you do run into people that go through some of the motions of what appears to be knowing the Lord, but they are very difficult to deal with, unloving, uncaring, and the fact is something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. But would you pray for believers to mature to where they understand that, yes, we're to be taking in, but we're to be giving out as well? Would you pray for that?
Yeah, let's pray for those people. Thank you, Lord, for our listeners today. I'm praying specifically for those who, though may have replaced a living relationship with the living God with a standard. Maybe they think they're okay because they do certain things and they keep a certain standard, but they're not interacting with your grace. They don't have the kind of relationship with you that's transforming them. We know that you said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given to us. Lord, if that love is shed abroad in our hearts, that means we're going to love you and others. But some people, I know, some people, they're missing the relational aspect. So I pray for them today that, first of all, you would awaken them to their need, that you would tune them into spiritual life that transforms their nature into the nature of Christ through the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would give them that kind of relationship that begins to live itself out through the mind which was in Christ and the love that you've put within our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for just your Holy Spirit who guides and empowers us and counsels us and strengthens us and empowers us to live a Spirit-filled life. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, and more, help us to realize, Lord, that we're called to be hearers and doers of your word. We're to receive your word, to take it in, to consume your word, and we're to live it as well. And help us to live that. And Lord, help us as the church to teach and equip people to understand that's the way we're all called to live life following you, receiving and giving out as well. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Chris, I want to ask you this question too. Just from your perspective, both as a pastor as well as probably a professor in the seminary setting as well. How critical is it, from your perspective, that pastors teach the meaning behind means of grace as a part of the life of the church they serve?
Well, look, we're called to make disciples, and the church. There's really two missions, I suppose, an inner mission and an outer mission. We are called to reach out and make disciples, but we're also called to reach in and make disciples of the people who have been brought into the body. So I think if a pastor is not teaching the means of grace, mm-hmm. he's not equipping people to live in that living relationship with God. And so I don't know how you make a disciple without teaching them mm-hmm. how to live the Christian life. The Christian life is not just a standard. It's not just something you do. It's actually interacting with God on a daily basis. And the only way to do that is through the means of grace. And so if you're not teaching your people that, I don't know what you're teaching them exactly. So it's a discipleship issue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're coming up on a break once again, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. Chris Lorstifer. He's the pastor of Hines Independent Methodist Church and also the author of the book, Learning to Breathe. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less.
The music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Chris Lorstifer. He's a professor at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and is the author of the book Learning to Breathe, subtitled Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration. Dr. Chris, if someone wants to get the book, tell them how they can get it.
Yeah, so Amazon. Amazon is the answer to that. Amazon.com. Look it up. Put the title in, Learning to Breathe. Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration, it'll come right up, and they can order from there.
All righty. And who would you say this book is mainly geared towards?
Well, it's got a double aim. On the one hand, it's written very much on a lay level. I mean, this is an interesting kind of a sort of a deep concept, but it's written pretty plainly. Anybody who wants to know how to relate to God, this book is written right to them. However, it's also then a tool that can be used easily for people if you want to disciple somebody. You take them through the book. So the book is in five chapters. And in the back of the book, there's questions for each chapter. So you read a chapter, and then there's questions you can have. Like, people use it in a group setting. Like, churches will say, I need 100 copies because we're going to do this in our church. And so there's a couple of guys who are doing some youth camps this summer. They've ordered books for all the kids at the youth camp, And what they do is they read the chapter, and then they go through these questions, and they discuss it. It helps somebody. You can walk them through the book, but somebody can just buy it and read it for themselves and get the information. So it's kind of got a double. It's got a double aim. Anybody who wants to learn how to interact with God, and anyone who wants to figure out how to disciple somebody in that process, the book does both.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Chris, I wanted to ask you this too. We live in a day and time in which it appears that there are quite a significant number of people that seem to be just sort of turning their back on their faith and walking away from a faith maybe that they grew up with or had been in church a long time and then just stopped going. What are your thoughts about why that would be happening in relation to the topic and the key issues you're dealing with in your book?
Well, I think the church has done a great disservice because we tell people, you must believe, you must do these things, and they don't know why. We've made Christianity such an objective, philosophical thing. You know, it's what I believe, it's what I practice, but it's not a living relationship with the living God. And that's the distinction. I think, you know, I'm not interested in a religion where there's no interaction with the living God. Mm-hmm. I grew up that way, and when I was 19, I came into a direct living relationship with God. That transformed me. That's when I was born again. But I grew up in a religion, going to church and all that. But it's just not the same. I think when you make Christianity a philosophy, a standard, a rule, when you make it that, it's just not. It's not only not helpful to people. It's not very interesting, and so I think people get, you know, bored of it, tired of it, and there's nothing to it when that's the case. People are looking for something that will change their life, something that will give them life. Mm-hmm. And Christianity has all of that, but we don't present it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you, and this kind of follows along the same line, but you're a professor at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Why did Wesley feel the need to put the word biblical in its title in view of the fact that every seminary should be biblically based? Would you respond to that?
Oh, absolutely. You said should be, mm-hmm. and that's the problem. To find a seminary that believes in the inerrancy of Scripture, you're going to be hard-pressed.
Mm.
Some will give it a nod, but a lot of them will not use the word inerrancy. So you have three things, three words. Wesley, that's our theological perspective. We believe in the message of holiness, the message of a transformed life. That's the Wesleyan message. We believe that the Scripture is the inspired, inerrant Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
For seminary, that's the level of education. This is an educational facility. So, yeah, mm-hmm. we put biblical in there because you'll be hard-pressed to find an inerrancy particularly in the Wesleyan world, unfortunately, to find a seminary that holds to inerrancy is a tricky thing.
Mm. And that's a sad reality. I'm going to ask you a different kind of question here. Like, say you have a young student who's considering going to seminary, and he says to you, Dr. Chris, how would you suggest I go about looking for a good seminary? How would you respond to that question?
Well, I usually, jokingly, I say WBS stands for World's Best Seminary. She'll start with the best. No, but seriously, I would look for the kind of seminary that's going to shape you both theologically and spiritually. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, seminaries want to break you. You know, it's almost like they want to take away your faith sometimes. I don't know why that's their goal. Mm-hmm. We want to shape and build people's faith, but of course, for me, I also believe, you know, the inerrancy of Scripture is an important point for me. I looked around at some different seminaries. I came to Wesley Biblical Seminary in 1990 as a student. But the thing is, I looked around at some, and I don't want to go to a seminary that's not teaching the Scripture as the inerrant Word of God, you know. Mm-hmm. That's very important. I've had pastors that did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. And to me, I want to go to a seminary that's going to absolutely teach me that and also theologically, that's gonna be teaching a proper consensual Christian orthodoxy. Yeah, it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dr. Chris, I'm going to share something that I guess might be actually offensive to some people, but it was a reality. I recall talking to two young ministers who had attended a particular seminary, and they spoke admirably about a particular professor at the seminary who at some point early in a given course took a Bible and threw it in the garbage. Now, from my perspective, they should have gotten up and left at that moment. But both of them spoke very admirably of the professor. But that, I think, is a clear reflection of a big part of the problem. Schools that don't really put their solid faith and trust in God and His Word. Would you take time to pray for individuals who are seeking to be leaders in the church, seeking training, that the Lord would guide them to find the right kind of place of training and direction for their lives as leaders in the body of Christ?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the church. We know in these days, above all else, the church needs, we need leaders, both clergy and lay leaders, who absolutely not only just know about the Scripture, they know the Scripture. They know the God of the Scripture. They believe in the Scripture. And that's hard-pressed to find sometimes today. But, Lord, there are people right now being called into ministry, whether it's lay ministry or professionally. They want to minister. They want to help. They want to be a part of this thing that God is doing. But they don't know what to do or how to do it. They want to go deeper. They want to go deeper theologically and biblically. I pray that you would guide them and direct them in their studies. A call to serve is a call to prepare. And that preparation means study. And Lord, for the people of our world, we need trusted leaders who know the Scripture, who know the theology, who know how to do the things they're called to do. I pray for them today. Guide them to that place where they'll be formed, they'll be shaped, and they'll be brought into a ministry that's effective and working in today's world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Chris. Well, our time is just about gone. Would you share one more time if someone is wanting more information about Wesley Biblical Seminary, tell them the website, how they can get in touch and learn more about it, please.
Absolutely. WBS.edu. So just remember, World's Best Seminary, WBS.edu. And that'll take them right to the website, and there's ways of calling us there. Definitely get in contact with us. Call me if they have some kind of question. They want to order, you know, a large quantity of the books of Learning to Breathe, you know, 10 or more for their church or whatever. Contact me through the website, and I can get them a discounted price, et cetera, and definitely look us up. Check out what we have to offer.
All righty. And you'd suggest that website as well to get the book as well, Learning to Breathe, or did you want to mention another?
Yeah, so if they want like 10 or more for their church, I can definitely get them a lot cheaper if they contact me. But if you're just getting one or a few, go to Amazon.com and look it up. Search out Learning to Breathe, Mastering the Art of Spiritual Respiration, and they'll find it right there.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Dr. Chris, for being with us. We do appreciate it, and I wish you just the Lord's best as you continue to serve as His vessel at both Wesley Biblical Seminary as a pastor and an author as well. So thanks for being with us, all right?
Thank you, sir. God bless you and your listeners.
Father, thank you, Lord, for Dr. Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Wesley Biblical Seminary and the work you've called them to. And thank you for other seminaries that are grounded and founded on your word and that are seeking to teach and train young individuals, sir, in the ministry to be the Bible-founded leaders you'd have them to be. Father, anoint that seminary with a fresh anointing more and more. Cause it to be what you want it to be. Bless Dr. Chris and the seminary. Indeed, expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain in Jesus' name. And Father, more and more, help us as individual believers and as fathers and mothers who are seeking to guide and train our children. Help us to be grounded in your word ourselves, and help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children and other youth that we might lead to become grounded and founded solidly on and in your word as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to seek to obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. We definitely hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Please pray much for the work and the ministry of Dr. Chris Lorstifer and the work and mission and ministry of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.